Do continue those conversations through the weekend. And as we come back together, I'm just going to briefly remind you, because four of the people who will be sharing their heart and their passion will be doing so in seminars. Elaine is going to be doing one on managing stress and anxiety. So that will be really... I might come to that one, Elaine. I've got a lot going on at the moment. And we've also got Caroline's doing one on living ethically. And Brenda is doing one on how to read the Bible. And I've missed one, which is Carolyn, who's doing one on sharing Jesus with Muslims. All of those sound amazing, and I want to go to them all, really. But do please sign up for one. We'd love them to be really well attended, because there's a lot of great wisdom to be shared in each one of those. And if you've got your weekend manual, just get it out now, because we've made a little space in there in the middle page if anybody wants to take notes or anything like that, and also the space at the back for seminar notes, so you can then keep your lovely church weekend notes all in one place. So that's that. And thank you so much for those who've shared tonight, for Nev and for Ruth for sharing tonight, because it's really precious, isn't it, to hear what's in people's hearts. And really what would be amazing, and we'll get to do this in heaven, is actually here with eternity in mind. This is Friday night. People have worked hard today, so I'm not going to keep you long. But we do have eternity to share with one another the grace and the goodness of God in our lives. I want to read a passage from Revelation chapter 5. It's Revelation 5, verse 11. It's just a short passage. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. And either if you've got your Bible switched on or you've got your Bible with you, just keep it open there, because I really want to look into this. And tonight we're going to be just looking at the theme of we are worshippers. Tomorrow we're going to look at we are family and we are servants. And then the last Sunday morning we'll look at we are disciples. But this evening we're looking at we are worshippers. And I can't think of a better passage of scripture to introduce us to the idea of worship than Revelation chapter 5. The whole book of Revelation stamps eternity on your heart. It reveals God as he really is. And as Martin said, as we were worshipping, I love to hear the passions on people's hearts, because as we're made in God's image, those reflect his heart. They reflect his heart. God is an incredible, creative, artistic God. It reflects his heart. And that's why we honor all the whole spectrum of passions and giftings and talents and things that we love that God's given us. But ultimately, it all goes in one direction, to worship. Ultimately, our lives are to be lived before the audience of one, our God, who is glorious, who is majestic, who's perfect in his holiness, who is pure beyond pure, in light unapproachable. He is an amazing God. It's impossible to describe his attributes and characteristics in a way that would help us to grasp it. Our God is an awesome God. And the ache in my heart over these days. I feel it for you and I feel it for me. I want this as well, which is to see God as he really is. To see God as he really is. And the only way we can do that is to read the whole, you know, to see God throughout the whole of Scripture as he really is. And he's revealed here in Revelation chapter 5 in an amazing way. I think we want to be those people who are God-centered people, not human-centered people. And a real simplicity of Christ, of knowing Christ. There's that beautiful old hymn that says, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. The fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see." And that really challenges me, that verse of that hymn, because I've got to say, is that true for me? Is that true? I can sing it, but do I live like that? All that thrills my soul is Jesus. You know, with these folk, this creation as they're singing, just in verse 13 it says, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth." And it's remarkable to think that we are included in that. Are you part of every creature in heaven and on earth? Hope so. I am. We are part of that song. We're part of that statement, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever and ever." And John here writing the book of Revelation says, "Then I heard the voice." And I wonder, if we stop long enough, can we hear the Holy Spirit call us to be those who say, "To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb"? Is that how we want to live our lives? That we would, whatever passion God's given us, whatever background God's given us, whatever our experience has been, that we would be one of those everyone. Our heart is every person, every place saturated with God. And here it is in the Bible, all of creation, all created beings, including us, will say, "To him who sits on the throne." It's not about us. It is about him, ultimately. And we are worshippers. We're worshippers of this amazing God. And I wonder whether in all the hustle and bustle, busyness and demands and pressures of life, it's hard for us sometimes to take a step back and remember it is all for him. It's not for me. It's all unto him and for him. And that we would live from that place where we would say, "To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." Whether life is going well, whether life is a struggle, or like most of us, it's a mixture of some things going well and some things not going well. Sometimes we feel well and other times we don't feel well. I'm not feeling so well at the moment. I've been struggling with a chesty thing. Whether we are going through life's struggles at any point in time, we can still step back and say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever and ever." Because however my life is characterized, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and all the things that we say at a wedding, it is all ultimately for his glory, for his honor that we live. And that's my heart, that we would encounter and know who God really is. That we don't want to be those who are just casual, careless in the way we treat God and the way we treat the things of God. It's possible for us to miss what God has for us. If you remember, do you remember Uzzah? One of those characters in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 6. He was the one who went to catch the ark. And I've always thought to myself, that's not fair, God. Why was he wiped out? Or do you remember King Saul? I think it's 1 Samuel 13, when Saul lost the kingdom because he made a sacrifice without Samuel, because Samuel was late. It's like, God, do you understand? Timekeeping is important, you know. Go easy on Saul. It seems quite a harsh thing to happen to Saul. Or even Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, when they lied to the Holy Spirit and when they were taken out from church one day. It was quite a church meeting that was, in a coffin. Or do you also remember when in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul says, some of you are taking communion and you're falling sick because you're not honoring the body and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder whether we've lost that sense of the sacred, and that's what all those where all those people came unstuck, and they missed what God had for them. They came unstuck because they got careless about God and about the things of God. They didn't step back and say to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We don't want to be those who miss. We want to be those who have a fresh encounter with God. And it's been in my heart to say for a little while, because I'm, if I'm really honest with everybody, that it's kind of how I'm feeling as well. I long for a fresh encounter with God, and I wonder whether there's you do too, and we do together. Perhaps someone I would always be up for prayer myself, as a member of the human race. Christian leaders are still just human beings with ups and downs, but we want God. We want to be those who say we are worshipers to Him who sits on the throne. That's who we live for, to the Lamb who shed His blood for us on the cross. I was remembering just this week, just all the different times in my life where God has stirred a passion in my heart. And I wonder whether it would be good for us, even on this weekend, to look back over our lives. And the book of Revelation calls us to, when it says repent, it also says remember the things you did at first. And I wonder whether if you look back in your Christian experience, you might say, I used to be more on fire for God than I am today. I don't know if that's true of anybody here. There was a time when I would have done anything for the Lord. There was a time when God could have asked me anything and I would do it for Him. Or I was really willing to surrender all to God. But now, if I'm honest, you might say, I'm not sure I'm in that place at the moment. Well, this weekend is a time for us to remember and to come back. It's a time for us to connect, like Ruth was really helpfully saying, about recovering sometimes some of the passion that was there from before, but actually picking it up again. And that was about art. And that may be true of different things for different ones of us. But I'm also really aware, I mean, I remember talking to someone within our church family who said that it had been 5 years since they felt they had really known God in an intimate way. And I would love us to say, Lord, we want the simplicity of knowing You above all things. To Him who sits on the throne, to become worshippers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be our supreme desire. To be God-centered, not self-centered. I remember A.W. Tozer once, I heard one tape. He's an amazing writer. If you ever can read anything about A.W. Tozer, get it. And I heard one talk that he gave. And in that talk, he talked about how he so wanted to exalt God in his life. And he used the old language, but he said, you know, he used to pray, Lord, be Thou exalted over me. Be exalted over my ambitions. Be exalted over my career. Be exalted, O God, over my family, my children. Lord, be exalted over my reputation, over my money, over the things that stress me. Lord, would You be exalted, O God, above these things in my life, that You would take the highest place. Lord, whether I'm doing well or whether I'm feeling the dark place, Lord, would You be exalted in my life, in whichever way You choose. That's a great prayer to pray. Be exalted. Be exalted over me. Sometimes in our culture that we have a really narcissistic and self-obsessed culture. And the thing that we need is to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on God And that's what I hear every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all those, everything else. What are they saying to him who sits on the throne? They're completely taken up with God. And I just wonder what would happen to us. Because I'm not saying there's a perfect, there's not some sort of, there's no perfect Christian life where we just go from, we just are always victorious forevermore and never ever sin. You know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. No, nobody's perfect. But Jesus certainly called us to be surrendered and wholehearted, even in our brokenness. And so even in our brokenness, we can still say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I just wonder, can we hear that? Because the book of Revelation says, the angel said to John, listen, he said to him, it says, then I heard every creature. I almost feel like, Lord, I want to hear that in my spirit. I want to hear those... All of creation, everyone who's ever lived, singing that song to him who sits on the throne. And that's what we need tonight. That's what we need. We want to be worshippers who know God in that way. I remember in 1990, this is way back, I experienced the presence of God during a conference on the island of Skye, up in the Highlands, in such a way as I don't think I've ever. I mean, it was incredible. The way that God drew near to us during those days. I remember back in there was a lot of weeping went on during that time, actually. Because there was a lot of us coming back to God in quite a big way. The Lord has been kind of speaking to me more and more about tears and the place of weeping that is a good place, that is a healthy, life-giving place. Sometimes some of us might need to weep, might need to cry a bit more than we do before God and be honest with God about where we're at. And I can certainly remember at that time spending time with the Lord on my knees with my Bible in front of me and knowing his presence in such a rich, powerful way. I can remember in 1994 when Caroline and I were at university together, and we, as the students there, we used to have packed prayer meetings where the people would just be crying out to God for God to do a fresh thing on our campus in our university. And we certainly experienced that back then in 1994, a real move of the Spirit. Those are the sorts of things that kind of ruin you for just ordinary church because there's so much more that God wants to do. But it actually starts where we really start looking to God in a whole new way. And when we fix our eyes on him, fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's so simple, isn't it? There's nothing particularly profound or no great exegetical teaching. It's just the positioning of the heart to do it, to actually know God. Because I'm convinced that one of the biggest issues facing the UK church today is that so much of the church doesn't seem to know God. Not the God that we read of in the Bible. We certainly don't often seem to be experiencing the same things we read in the Bible. And that's what we want. That's what we want God to do. But God wants us to come before him as worshippers, as people who know him, as people of simple faith, who would say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. And I'll finish with this. This is a psalm, Psalm 86. I've been thinking about this verse. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart. that I may fear your name. And there's something holy and sacred about fearing the Lord. But there's that beautiful description of an undivided heart, which is a worshiper heart. It says, to him who sits on the throne, sometimes maybe through confusion, through gritted teeth, through pain, through sorrow, through joy, through tears, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, to God, to the Lord Jesus, be praise and glory and honor and power forever. That we would love him, that we would love the Lord Jesus Christ. We would love God. We would love the precious Lamb of God who gave his very lifeblood on the cross for us. That is what Jesus calls us to, something so simple and so available and so real, if we are hungry enough to reach out and to take and say, Lord, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. Come and do something. Come, Lord, and break through in my life. Come, Lord, and break through my hard heart. Come, Lord, and dethrone my idols that I have built up, because our God is a jealous God. Come, Lord, and forgive me my carelessness, maybe, my lackadaisical approach to you, God. Teach me to fear you. Teach me to know you. Teach me to be in awe of you. And I really believe that it's when we come into that place of awesome, the awe of God and his awesomeness, and that worship springs up from our hearts, and then we can see clearly what God wants to do in our lives. Amen. So that's an invitation for us to come to Christ afresh. To come to Christ afresh. It may be that it's been easy for us to wander, even in our heart. Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And it's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want to know you. I want to worship you. I want to be wholly yours in my complicated, difficult, stressful world that I'm living in. But Lord, I want you. I want you more than anything else. Please come. And what I'd love to do now is just for us to take a moment to pray. And then we'll release you to go and be blessed for a good night's sleep. Because we need a good night's sleep after that curry. But perhaps I could just lead us in prayer. So maybe just in where you're sitting, let's just allow a brief moment of quiet and the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight just as we are. In all our need and in all our complicated brokenness, Lord. Come and meet us, Lord, with your faithful love. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and honor and power forever and ever. Lord, thank you that in that place where you are, nobody's bored. Nobody's looking for something else. Everyone in heaven is focused on you. And I just pray here on earth, Lord, that we would be focused on you. Fixing our eyes on you. Needing a fresh touch of you in our souls. That's what we really need. That's what I need, Lord. And so we come tonight, Father, to say, Lord, here we are. Meet us afresh. May we be worshippers of God in our generation. May we know you as you really are. Lord, I pray for all of us here, and we're all in the same boat, Lord, and we pray that you would be exalted in our lives, in the mundane, in every part of our existence, in our workplaces, families. Come, Holy Spirit, and would you exalt your name, Lord Jesus? May you be exalted. Forgive us, Lord, for the idols that we have put up in our hearts. And help us, Father, to, like Gideon did, to push them down and to see Jesus lifted high. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, so that we could tear down every idol and to worship only you. Lord, would you have first place in our hearts, we pray. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so, Lord, tonight, on this Friday night, I ask you for a grace that you would keep calling us, Lord, and that we would give our yes to you. I pray, Father, for your transforming presence in each of our lives and for breakthroughs, Lord God, to take us deeper into you. And so, God, we love you. We want to love you more, but we thank you, Father, that you first loved us. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing upon us now. Holy Spirit, keep speaking to us even in the night, even in our dreams, that you'd be speaking to us, Lord, calling us. And that Jesus, this weekend, that we would make space for you to come in a fresh way. Hallelujah. You are a wonderful Savior. We ask these things for the name and the honor and the glory of Jesus, to know you and to make you known. Amen.